Start with the head table. And I'm going to first introduce those people who will not otherwise at the head table, who otherwise will not appear on the program. And as I introduce them, I'm going to ask them to stand until all are standing. And I'm going to ask you to please withhold your applause until all are standing, then we'll give them all one nice burst of applause. First, I'd like to introduce on my right, Mrs. McGinnis, the First Lady of the campus of the Alaska Methodist University. And next, Mrs. Egan, the First Lady of Alaska. And next, Mrs. Wood, the First Lady of the campus of the University of Alaska. Now, I think they're entitled to a nice... I've had one young lady in the audience pretty much frightened. I told her last night I was going to call on her for a speech, but I think she knows I was only fooling. So now I'm going to ask three people to stand. First, Miss Elizabeth Wood of Alexandria, Illinois, the mother of Dr. Wood, and Dr. and Miss Wood's two children, Karen and Mark. I know this is a very proud day for you folks, and I know Dr. Wood is also... It's a great regret to you that your oldest son, William, cannot be here with you tonight to share this great honor with you. Now I'm going to have you meet the Board of Regents and their wives or husbands, and I'm going to ask the Board of Regents and their wives or husbands to stand, and I'm again going to ask you to withhold the applause so we can hold them up. So we'll start first, I think, with Miss O'Neill and Regent O'Neill. Mrs. Norland and Regent Norland. Mrs. Harwood and Mr. Harwood, Regent Harwood. Mrs. Conway and Regent Conway. Regent Atchison and Mr. Atchison. Regent Cuddy. Regent Moore. Now, have I overlooked anybody except Regent Rasmus, who I'm going to call on later? If I have, I'd probably get the emeritus cut off my name. Now, I think it's her title tonight. Serving. We're also fortunate to have Dean and Mrs. Heller from the Alaska Methodist University here. Will they please stand? Wait, so they are there. Dean Heller is a friend of long standing. I knew him first as a student at the University of Alaska. I won't say how many years ago, Dean. As usual, the military always finds supporters of the university. And one or two, General Wheeler will speak a little later, so I'll not introduce him now, but I'd like to have Mrs. Wheeler please stand. And Mrs. Culpepper and Colonel Culpepper, way back there. Colonel Culpepper is commander, air commander at Ladd Field. Judge and Mrs. Walter Hodge, I saw them come in a bit ago. Will they please stand? Commissioner and Mrs. Romick, are they here, please? Will they stand, please, if they're here? Oh, yes, there they are, back there. I'm going to ask Ruth Derrick to stand. Is she here? I saw her how it goes. I hope you enjoyed the Carolyn's this afternoon at the university. Knows that it was Ruth's generosity that enabled us to have those Carolyn's, and she also supports a very wonderful scholarship for one of the girls at the university. I might ask Eva McGowan to stand. Is Eva? I know she's here. I'll tell you a little story that I first met Eva and Arthur McGowan. I'd have to do a little mental arithmetic, but I think I'm right. I think it's about 38 years ago. They were about the first couple we met when we came to Fairbanks. We were house hunting, and we rented their home. And Eva was on her way to Ireland for one of these trips to Ireland. Up until 2 days ago, I expect to have the unusual fine pleasure of introducing a girl who's been my sweetheart for, I guess, nigh on to about 45 years. But I had talked to her on the phone the other night, and I found that she couldn't come, and she asked me to send her deepest regrets, and I think you know that those regrets are very sincere. Because you people gathered in this room are some of our finest friends, and Kay would have liked nothing better than being with us here tonight. I certainly miss her, because if she was here sitting by my side, she'd be nudging me and say, "Ernest, for heaven's sake, you forgot to introduce somebody. You forgot to introduce somebody else." And now, to a man who always depends on his wife for all the social things, I just have to blunder along tonight as a typical man would do, mix everything all up. So, so I think now that we have some of us have our meal, we'll go ahead and eat tomorrow. But first I want to say, Dr. Wood, these are just a few of the important people of Alaska who are gathered here tonight to pay honor to you and Mrs. Wood and to assure you of their cooperation in helping you to build the university to still higher peaks. And it's a wonderful gathering, and I'm glad that they're here. Same time. I'll make other introductions as the evening goes along, but that first I want to say that this has been a great day for the university and for our state. Those of us who have had a chance to work briefly with Dr. Wood have been impressed with his quick grasp of the essentials of the university and his fine background in education. We like his enthusiasm and the way he's taken hold of the job, and we feel that the Regents have exercised great, profound judgment in selecting him as a person. And I have to speak for him. I know it isn't necessary to say this, but I just say it as a matter of form, because I know you'll do it anyway. So I speak for him, the wonderful cooperation that you gave me over the past 7 years. The inauguration ceremony this afternoon was a very formal affair, as it should be, although our new president lightened it up with some very human touches. But an inauguration ceremony has to be a rather formal affair. But tonight I feel we should adopt a less formal posture. So I'm going to start off by telling you a story which I hope too many of you haven't heard. This deals with a clothing store that had a suit that they could never sell. The boy came in one day looking for a job as a clerk in this store. The fellow, the proprietor, said, "If you can sell this suit, I'll give you a job as a clerk." The boy went out and looked the suit. It was a dark purple suit with white stripes and then red dots. Most atrocious thing that ever been manufactured. You don't know why it would get on the racks. And the boy was game, though. He said, "I'll take a chance." And I'll try. So in about an hour or two, he came into the boss's office, very excited. His hands were bloody, his trousers were torn, and he gasped. He said, "I sold the suit." The boss looked at him and he said, "It looks to me like you had a good deal of customer resistance." No, he said, "The customer was fine," but he said, "That seeing-eye dog certainly put up a battle." If you looked at the program, we have quite a list of speakers this evening. So I think before we get on to the ice cream, I'm going to... I see that Richard Rasmus has already started on his ice cream. He was going to get a bite and he knew I was going to call him next. Most of you, I think, know Alan Rasmus. Some of you know him as a businessman or as a banker, but I know him chiefly as president of the Board of Regents of University of Alaska, and is a man whose friendship I prize very greatly. He's a man who's given a great deal of his time to public affairs, and his service to the University of Alaska can never be properly measured. During my years in office, he was a great help to me, and many times I picked up the phone and called Anchorage and said, Elmer, I've got a toughie here. What do you think I better do about this? And I always found his advice was very sound, very conservative. And I found that always he's had a real interest in the university. It's an amazing thing. I suppose some people feel when they see somebody's name in the paper being appointed a member of the Board of Regents of the university, that that's sort of an honor. It's an invitation to a lot of hard work. Don't ever fool yourself. Don't ever take a job if you're offered one as a board member of the Board of Regents of the university, unless you're prepared to do a lot of hard work and a lot of homework. These people come, and if they were managing their own business, they wouldn't put in harder work. They work long hours, and they deal with some really terrific problems. And the fellow who passed the whip is Elmer Rasmussen. Elmer, what are you talking about?
After hearing that story of Dr. Patty's, I'm throwing away my prepared script. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who know me well realize that I only have one speech in my system a day, and so after I spoke today, it's a great oratorical hazard to call me a second time. However, after lightning bugged it back into the lawnmower, I'm delighted to be here. We Regents have a little advantage over the rest of you. Now, I presume that those who are going to be called to speak here this evening are going to give a lot of praiseworthy comments and welcomes about Dr. Wood. Well, we're not going to do that at all, because we've been in session for 3 days, and we've gone past the courtesy stage. The first day I came in there, and Dr. Wood handed me one of these books. I says, what's that for, Dr. Wood? He said, we've got a budget here we're preparing. We want to save the state's hard-earned money. I mean, we want to save the taxpayers. It's hard-earned money. And here you're wanting us to spend money right away in a book. He said, well, this is to enable you to learn how to run the university better. I said, man, you don't know us Alaskans. Why, we don't run the university half as well as we know now. We don't want to spend money and buy a book for it. But I want to tell you about the problem that we had in getting Dr. Wood to come with us to be president of the university. We had him just about convinced, but he wouldn't give us an answer one way or the other. And I said, well, what's the matter, doctor? He says, some troubles, you've been away or something like that. He says, no, I said, I've got a couple of other answers, and I want to tell you about it first. He said, there's not so much interference where I've been going to school and in my academic career, but I want to make sure I'm not going to have any troubles in the future. He said, I've got these two jobs. I said, what are they? He said, well, the first one is that I've been offered a very fine job to head up the teaching at an orphanage. And I said, what do you want to go there for? He says, well, I figure I'm not going to have any of these parents come around there and tell me how I'm going to run the kids. See, you've got something there, doctor. What's the other deal that you've got on your mind there? Well, he said, I've got this very fine offer at the state penitentiary. He said, there's no future in that, Dr. Wood. What do you want to go there for? He says, well, I understand that the alumni never come back for any reunions in that. Well, we have quite a hard job to go and talk him into coming to our place, but as you can see from the speech that he gave today, we made a very wise choice, and we're very happy to have you here.
Who were very much in love, and they had no place to conduct their courtship. So they were very ingenious young couple, so they would go down to the railroad station, and when they knew at 8 o'clock in the evening, the passenger train came in from the east, and they'd go right down to the end of the Pullman coaches, and they'd say very fond farewells to each other. Then when the train pulled out, they'd walk back to depot, and they'd wait for another hour until 9 o'clock. Then the westbound train came in, they'd go down to the Pullman again, and tell each other very fond farewell, and then that 9 o'clock train left, then they'd hold hands and walk back over town. The Red Cap watched us for several weekends, and finally he became rather compassionate. He says, why don't you young fellows go with the bus depot? There's a bus leaving there for 30 minutes. Well, during many years at the university, I interrupted some very touching the alumni here can well testify to if they would. The next man I'm going to introduce was a former student of mine, but this has no value. I assure you
history of the Dean Bryceland when he was a student was a very serious student and very circumspect. Very serious and very circumspect. Yeah, that's true, Dorothy. Anyway, I'm hesitant to introduce him facetiously, but I took advantage of his friendship. We've been friends over a great many years, and I knew that I could pull this on him tonight.
Dr. Patty, Governor and Mrs. Egan, Dr. and Mrs. Wood, Mr. Rasmussen, and Dr. and Mrs. McGinnis. At this time, perhaps I should start to review something that I know of bygone days. I have been given only 1.5 minutes. This is what I was told. I do have a rather serious thought that I want to present this evening. Dr. Patty is doing such a very fine job on his storytelling, there's no use to try and match this evening. A half century ago, Judge James Wickersham, a far-sighted Alaskan, determined to establish an outstanding university that would offer educational opportunity to the peoples of this North Country. Through his persistent endeavors, land for such an academic center was reserved near Fairbanks. Soon after the dedication of the Alaska Agricultural College and School of Mines on September 13, 1922, the Board of Regents officially approved a seal which the faculty suggested. In the center of this seal, Mount McKinley rises full height, and at its base is the Latin inscription, Ad Summum. Dr. Wood, your three pioneering predecessors and their faculties, through monumental and untiring effort, and each in his own way, consistent with existing conditions of the time, have steered the University of Alaska toward this goal to the eminent stature it now has within the state, the nation, and the world. The University of Alaska is land-grant in nature. When Alaska became a state, the university was officially affirmed as the state university charged with providing its services to all peoples of the Northland. Our forefathers, in establishing provisions for land-grant colleges, knew that our way of life requires that educational opportunities be made available to all. The objectives of such are well summarized by William Oxley Thompson, former president of the University of Ohio. He stated, and I quote now briefly, "An institution is to be operated for the good it can do, for the people it can serve, for the science it can promote, for the civilization it can advance." Land-grant colleges have attempted this ideal of service in every phase of their extensive program, in the advancement of agriculture, science, art, and industry, in the training of students as citizens, in the search for useful new truths, and in the relationship of the college to the life of the people. The new frontier will always pose challenges for the president and faculty to further advance these concepts. I know the Board of Regents was well cognizant of these challenges as it selected you for a president of the University of Alaska. I am sure that the Regents recognized your excellent background as a teacher, administrator, and consultant in the academic fields, your success as an author, your warm personality, your keen sense of perception and deep understanding of human nature, your ability to see problems and to take action toward good solutions, your initiative and courage of conviction. These qualities combine to give you that outstanding and necessary quality, leadership, so important to the success of any enterprise. Since your arrival here last July, many of the faculty have become well acquainted with you, have worked with you on common problems, and have observed and appreciate your leadership abilities. Our faculty and staff now look to you for leadership in this new era, and we pledge ourselves to support your program that will further advance educational opportunities for all Alaskans.
President and Mrs. Wood, Mark and Karen, on behalf of the entire faculty, I warmly welcome you to the University of Alaska with the sincere anticipation and hope that your stay here will be long, happy, and most successful.
Thank you, Dean Beislein. I don't want to let this occasion pass either without saying again to the faculty, thanks for the very fine things that you've done during the years that I was here. Times you've been very long-suffering, and I've been a little rough in spots, but I've always been very proud of my association with this faculty, and I've always been very proud of the faculty. I felt it was a fine faculty. And Dr. Wood, I have no recall that I told him when he came here that I said, you're inheriting a fine faculty. And after all, you can have all the fine buildings in the world, you can have all the nice, beautiful campuses, and the best football teams you talked about today, but unless you have a good faculty, you will never have a prestige university. Now, another thing beside the faculty is the student body. To create the image of a university requires many facets, and it takes years for that image of the university to crystallize. And one of the facets that helps to crystallize the image of a university is the student body over the years, their actions now and in the past and in the present. Oh, I don't mean the escapades that all students go through, but I mean their loyalty to their school, their results when they get out of school, their loyalty, all those things add up. In the last year, in fact, during most of the time I've been at the university, we've been very fortunate in having very fine leadership within our student body, very fine presidents. Last year and this year, we have Ken Green, a junior from Anchorage, who has a fine mind and has natural ability as a leader. In fact, he's just the type of young man that any of us would like to have as our own son. Ken, will you come up and speak for the students, please?
I haven't graduated yet. You may be sorry in the future, maybe, on some of your remarks. Well, Dr. Patty, Governor Egan, Dr. and Mrs. Wood, and distinguished guests, it is with pleasure tonight that I may express the welcome of the students of our university to President Wood. Last spring, shortly after the Board of Regents made their selection of Dr. Wood as the fourth president of the University of Alaska, a letter from the Associated Students of the University of Nevada was received in the offices of our student government. With puzzlement and some anxiety, we opened the envelope. And I must confess at this time that one of our suspicions was, well, here we have a field manual on how to work with Dr. Wood from the student level. Sure enough, it was. The letter first expressed regret that the University of Nevada was losing Dr. and Mrs. Wood. It then went on to tell us of the sincerity, the energy, and the most concerted efforts with which Dr. Wood had worked with the student government at the University of Nevada. The conclusion of the letter was very obvious. There is no set approach for working with Dr. Wood other than honesty and sincerity. At this time, I would like to congratulate the Board of Regents upon their excellent selection, and on behalf of Alaskan students of today and the students in the future, extend to Dr. and Mrs. Wood a most sincere welcome to Alaska and to the University of Alaska.
Thank you very much, Ken. Our next speaker is Harold Bird, the controller, business officer of the university. You know, a president gets credit for lots of things, fine things that happen to the university, and sometimes people working with him, doing the hard day-to-day labor that really deserves the credit. He gets sometimes the credit for the many hours of toil they put in. During my years at the university, Harold was always my good, strong right arm. And I could always depend on him for candid judgment on things, and I could always depend on him. If I was over there burning the midnight oil, he was over there burning the midnight oil. Sometimes I would leave before he would leave. Harold?
I believe this is hot. Is it? It may be too hot for me. I don't take this position because of the fact that we have been in session for 3 days and have passed the stage when close contact is to be shunned. Although we have been in session for 3 days, and I have actually been in session with Dr. Wood for much more than that. Dr. Wood, we of the so-called non-academic staff sincerely appreciate your words of this afternoon at your very fine, during your very fine address. Also, we appreciate the sentiments that you have often expressed during the past few weeks when we have been privileged to work with you during some of these midnight hours of which Dr. Patty speaks. We know that you are convinced that there is more to a university than the teachers and the students, although they form the principal the core of a university. There are also those in the so-called non-academic staff, and these are those who sell the textbooks, those who plan the buildings, and those who issue the books in the library, and there are those who maintain the buildings. There are those who pay the bills and pass out the scholarship money. There are those who also clean up the clutter that is inevitable in conducting a university. And these also are necessary to a well-run university. And we, Dr. Wood, are well aware that you, too, are aware of the necessity for a close working partnership between these people, the faculty, the students, and yourself. And for these people, I pledge to you the sincere, loyal service of these people.
Thank you, Harold. There was an Australian who was a very noted man with a boomerang, and so one day, some of his friends thought it'd be a marvelous idea on his birthday to buy him a new boomerang, but they frustrated the poor fellow because he had so much trouble throwing the old one away. Well, now the alumni of a university are a good deal like a boomerang. They keep coming back year after year, but we never want to throw them away, because they are a very vital part of the university and a very vital force in the life of the university. And we're only beginning to feel the muscles of the alumni. They're starting to spread in our state legislature and all the towns and cities throughout our state, and they'll be taking places of importance, and they're going to become, as time goes on, a more greater factor. Speak to the alumni today, Mrs. Audrey Loftus, who's an alumni secretary and who's been extremely active over all the years in alumni activities. Ms. Loftus.
I have been asked by many alumni and all of our chapters to extend greetings and congratulations to Dr. Wood tonight. Time does not permit reading all the letters and wires received, so I have chosen one as being typical of the spirit of them all. May I read one from our more distant alumni? Most of us in the Northern California chapter of the Alumni Association went to the University of Alaska as Dr. Bunnell was struggling to raise a fledgling college to the status of a true university. History now knows that Dr. Bunnell's efforts were anything but vain, nor indeed were those of his immediate successors. Hence we believe that the day may well come when we will look back upon today as the day upon which the University of Alaska reached maturity. May we of Northern California wish that you, Dr. Wood, have a long and successful administration. We hope that the group of students now in the university and those still younger to whom the university still looks like an almost impossible goal will all someday look back upon you with the same love and affection that we of the old guard look back upon our beloved Dr. Bunnell. And may we share with these youngsters, as this comes to pass, the good feeling that comes from knowing that we are witnessing an excellent performance. May God be kind to you in everything you do, particularly your efforts in behalf of our alma mater. As Alumni Secretary, it is with great pride that I report to you on your inaugural day that although the University of Alaska is young in years, our alumni are found throughout the world and are numbered in every profession. They hold seats in city government, in the Alaska legislature, in the Congress of the United States, and in the cabinet of our state government. Dr. Wood, for 2 years you were president of the Chicago chapter of your own Illinois College Alumni Association, and for 3 years you served as president of the Illinois College Alumni Fund. You know then that one of the greatest assets any university can have is a loyal alumni. They are the finger on the pulse of public desires and needs, the hand upon the heart of public opinion. We offer you in your work the tool of alumni loyalty. The more you use it, the stronger it will become. The more you ask of it, the greater will be its endeavor. We are already finding you a vigorous, progressive president dedicated to bringing thought, learning, and wisdom to all those who seek it. Dr. Wood, we, the alumni, are proud to have you as our fourth president, and we are proud to have your gracious wife as our first lady. Welcome to the University of Alaska family.
First considered to come to the university, I began to receive reports from various departments head, and one report came from Dr. Mick. And as I had never met Dr. Mick, as I read that report, I was greatly impressed with the fine way that he was able to digest and present the material so lucidly. And one of the first persons that I wanted to meet when I got over here was Dr. Mick. And I'm very happy that he's still here. And he's going to speak to us this evening. I should tell you that he's director of the Agricultural Experiment Stations and also the Extension Service. Dr. Mick's going to speak on land grant and state universities. Dr. Mick.
Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, through the nation's oldest land-grant institution, Michigan State University, the American Association of Land-Grant Colleges and State Universities greets and congratulates the people of Alaska, and more specifically, the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska, for their perspicacity in choosing a man of vision to lead this, their youngest member institution, onto its obvious destiny. The Association of Land-Grant Colleges and State Universities commends our new president, Dr. William R. Wood, for his dedication to the cause of learning and for his acknowledged contributions as a devoted public servant. In the full expectation of his brilliantly executing here that leadership which has thus far distinguished his career. Applying these sentiments, the United States Department of Agriculture, long a partner in fostering leadership in rural areas for rural people, looks forward to a pleasant and significant relationship in pursuing with the university certain mutual goals. And finally, on behalf of the extension staff and that precursor of the university, the Alaska Agricultural Experiment Stations, I greet and welcome Dr. Wood and his charming family.
And I can say that Dr. Wood has another fine member on his team. Dr. Norby, who just recently came to Alaska, let's see, about 5 or 6 months ago, was it, Dr. Norby? Is that about right? How much? Oh, excuse me. As the new Commissioner of Education, I don't think many of you had a chance to get acquainted with him. I have. Met him in Juneau a number of times. I'm very much impressed with him. He came here from California. And he's going to speak to us now on the subject of state public education. Dr. Patty, Governor Regan, Dr. Wood, honored guests and friends. It has been my privilege to get a little better acquainted with Dr. Wood's family. Particularly, I refer to Karen and Mark, and also his mother. There are some things, frankly, I have learned about Dr. Wood, and frankly, it's probably best to leave some of these things unsaid at the moment. However, seriously, I'd like to make two or three points here, and I shall do them in rapid succession. One thing I have discovered is this. Alaskans want an outstanding educational program. I want to say further this, that I look forward to the many opportunities we're going to have to work together. I've also learned many fine things about you, Dr. Wood, and I can truthfully say this, Alaska is fortunate to have you, and also you are fortunate to be in Alaska. I am confident that you will provide the imaginative leadership that will be required. Also, I want to conclude with one more statement, and I think you'll appreciate the veracity of this after you have enjoyed a tenure such as I have, a full year and almost an additional month, and that's this, you just haven't lived until you've lived in Alaska. Thank you. And now we have our own Edgar Filio, who is representing the Sheldon Jackson Junior College. Dr. Petty, Governor Regan, Dr. Wood, these are highly exciting times for the University of Alaska. As a representative of Sheldon Jackson Junior College, Alaska's oldest educational institution, I would like to join with all private schools and colleges in welcoming William Ransom Wood to the field of higher education in Alaska. We believe that this is an historic event, marking another important advancement in the academic life of the university. We believe that it is appropriate that all private schools and colleges join hands with the university in every way possible to make higher education available for every Alaskan who can move toward this goal. Again, we say to Dr. Wood and to the University of Alaska, congratulations and God's blessing for the future.
Thank you. Will you express to President Armstrong our regrets that he couldn't be here this evening? I don't think the next speaker, Jim Ryan, needs any introduction to this crowd. Jim has been my friend over a great many years, and we've worked together, and I have a great admiration for him, and I'm very happy that he can be here tonight to speak on behalf of the local school system.
Dean Potty, I knew him as Dean years and years ago. Dr. and Mrs. Wood, and distinguished guests and friends, on behalf of the Fairbanks Public Schools, the families, the parents, the staff, and 5,000 youngsters, we wish to say welcome. We are glad you're here. As you know, the public elementary and secondary schools and the university in its graduate and undergraduate schools constitute an educational ladder. And we are very keenly aware, sometimes I think painfully aware, that anything that we do or any shortcomings that we may have represents or immediately makes your job more difficult or easier, whichever it may be. We hope it will be easier. Over the years, I am quite aware of the fact that many people have said, why can't you teach those youngsters more English? Or why can't you teach them more mathematics? And we realize that any shortcomings that we may have will immediately reflect and condition the work that you're trying to do at the university. On the other hand, we realize that you are training professional people for public service. Especially, we are interested in the teachers that you are training in your institution. We also realize that what you do at the university conditions everything that we do. And so tonight, I am very happy to join with the others in greeting you, wishing you well. We're glad we're here. We're glad you're here. And we pledge to you our cooperation, our help, and our friendship.
Thank you, Jim. You need not sell some of your English teachers at least short. I heard the other evening that the university this year has a special honors course for freshmen in English. And it's surprising that I heard that 5 or 6 of this year's graduates of the Fairbanks High School were elected for that honors course in English at the university, which is quite a nice honor and reflects considerable credit for the teacher who trained these people. Brigadier General Lester L. Wheeler will speak on behalf of the Armed Forces. General Wheeler.
Dr. Patty, Governor Egan, Mr. Rasmussen, Dr. McGinnis, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Wood, as I listen to your inspirational inaugural address this afternoon, the thought crossed my mind that the University of Alaska and the Armed Forces are united in a common purpose. Each, in its own way and by its own means and methods, seeks to maintain and preserve the future peace and security of the United States. In implementing the Department of the Army's plan to establish a research, development, and test center in Alaska, I am sure that numerous opportunities will present themselves for a cooperative effort between the University of Alaska and the Army in the field of basic and applied research. One of the factors which influenced the Army's decision to build such a program in the North Country was the proximity of the University of Alaska with respect to our military installation at LAD, and the nature and extent of the research effort already in progress at the university. You are aware that the Navy and the Air Force are working with the university in this field already. I hope and expect that the Army and the University of Alaska can and will work together in order to achieve our common purpose. Dr. Wood, your already distinguished career gives promise of great things to come, not only for our local community, but for the great state of Alaska, and indeed for our country and the free world. We of the military services are looking forward to a long and pleasant association with you. We wish you Godspeed in the performance of your duties.
Next, we'll hear from our congressional delegation. We're very fortunate having the three of them here. Before I do that, I want to introduce the two of the wives. Bridie, Mrs. Bartlett, is not here today. I asked Bob why. I was very much disappointed. He said, well, you couldn't compete with the grandchildren that are down in Juneau. But Mrs. Greening is here, and Mrs. Greening, will you please stand? And Mrs. Rivers, will you please stand? I would ask you this. I've known this delegation, I know these three men, for a great many years. They're all very firm friends of mine. I don't know which one to ask first. I think I'll take it alphabetical order. Let's see, I'll put Bob Bartlett first. Bob, will you be the first one?
Dr. Penny, President Wood, Mrs. Wood, Mrs. Elizabeth Wood, our most delightful dinner companion, Karen, Mark, and Fran. It cannot be easy to take a final examination in full visual and hearing range of the whole wide world. Yet that is what Dr. Wood did this afternoon when he was inaugurated as president of the University of Alaska. He passed with a perfect score, and in the process, he revealed himself as a man of wit and wisdom, of humility and of learning, and as a man who understands exactly his own situation in his own household. President Wood, the Alaska cabin door is open to you. The padlock has been thrown away. The wood is by the stove, and not far away are the pick and the shovel. Go and sink a hole to bedrock, President Wood, and find there for us a veritable treasure. Good prospect.
Senator Greening.
You come up here if you prefer, Senator Greening, and you let me.
Welcome, Bill. We want you to know that we're strictly informal. This is not due to any lack of respect for the high office of the presidency. So I will say welcome, Elizabeth, welcome, Bill, welcome, Dorothy, welcome, Mark, welcome, Karen. It's very obvious that when you came here, you appreciated that we in Alaska believe in the perpetual use for our wood products.
And I don't hesitate to call you Bill because this is Alaska, but there are some of us who are wondering whether after November 8th we can continue to call him Jack. Now, Bill, as you well know, a university embodies and enshrines the soul of any civilized society. Its very name, university, connotes a cosmic concept inclusive of all the strivings of our social order. We Americans are dedicated to education as an integral and inseparable part of our democracy. But our compulsory attendance stops with the grade school. Beyond that, study is optional. Yet never in all history was there a greater need for the higher education which a university affords. The multiplication of knowledge, the innumerable ramifications into an infinity of new specialties brought about by expanding science, which is ushered in the space age, make a greater concern for higher education absolutely imperative. Increasingly, the achievement of our nation's aims, perhaps even our national survival as a free people, depend on an increasing proportion among us of highly educated, specially trained people, equipped to deal with the new complexities of modern civilization in a rapidly and acceleratingly changing world. We are today welcoming a new president of the University of Alaska. It is our state's only public institution of higher learning. It was the only institution of higher learning until a few days ago when we happily participated in the inauguration of the Alaska Methodist University. But the University of Alaska is the northernmost of such institutions, not only under our flag, but on Earth. It is highest on the map of the world. Absumum is its motto, a summons to seek the greatest heights. In education, as in every field of human endeavor, leadership is essential to progress and to achievement. The very word education signifies the leading out of those exposed to it. So the leadership of the profession of leadership carries with it a great responsibility, a great trust, and a great challenge. In William Ransom Wood, Alaska is fortunate in securing a leader who may confidently be counted on to conduct the University of Alaska steadily closer to the summit of our hopes, of our purposes, and of our ideals. No one who listened to his magnificent inaugural address can doubt that he is the man for the high post and for this crucial time. President Wood's task, as he himself has so inspiringly outlined it, will be to make our University of Alaska an institution of steadily higher standards which will provide an ever better equipment in knowledge and preparedness for life for the young men and women whose alma mater it will become. His task will be to make the university an enterprise of broadening scope so that it may contribute substantially to the unfolding and the development of Alaska and serve the state and indeed the nation in a diversity of fields. To achieve these ends, President Wood will require the full cooperation of the federal and state authorities, and particularly of the state legislators, for upon their understanding of and sympathy with the university's aims will to a great degree depend the extent to which it may fulfill its mission. They will recognize in President Wood a dedicated leader, an educator of both practical experience and vision, an academic statesman who will render superlative and invaluable service to our state if adequate means are placed at his disposal. So let us here highly resolve in the presence of this representative company that President Wood and our University of Alaska shall have those means.
Thank you, Senator Green. And now, Congressman Rivers, Ralph, would you come up, please?
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Patty, Dr. Governor Eaton, Dr. Wood, and and all the honored guests and all of the distinguished guests present here this evening. I am one who went through the impact, you might say, about 2 weeks ago of helping welcome Dr. McGinnis at the opening of the Alaska Methodist University. That was a historic milestone in the expansion of higher education in Alaska. Bishop Grant, presiding, noted to the audience that all of the speakers were under rather strict time limitations. I was on for 2 minutes, which I regarded as a model, or the possibility of a model of brevity. And Bishop Grant told the audience that we were under those time limitations, and as much as said that, notwithstanding the extreme pleasure he had in introducing us, that he hoped that we would not go afield, so to speak. Well, now, that, with that impact behind me, Doctor, but with the subtlety of Ernest Patty still behind me, I will endeavor to participate in this very pleasant occasion of welcoming Dr. Wood to the University of Alaska. As an old Fairbankson of many years standing, and during the last 30 years, I have personally known the three predecessor presidents of the University of Alaska, Dr. Bunnell, whom I knew for many years and regard as a founding father, you might say, and initial constructor of this, what is now such an impressive institution on College Hill, Dr. Terrence Moore, whom I met first when he was coming up on a boat to assume his job at the University of Alaska, explorer, educator, and a man who enhanced the scope of activity and the significance of the University of Alaska. Dr. Ernest Patty, whom I too knew as dean, and who has been with us for so many years, although he did venture into the fields of production and mining and engineering, and was lost to the university for many years, only to be recaptured by this alert and vigilant Board of Regents that is so good at prospecting, as Senator Bartlett suggested. Now, it is significant to me that each of these men, or Dr. Patty, I should say, before I leave this important subject, did develop most vigorously and admirably the great campus which is now the University of Alaska. And I was glad to play a part in helping with, you might say, some of the appropriation measures and the building program for the University of Alaska, which adds, of course, to the atmosphere and to the inspiration in the halls of higher learning. Dr. Patty, we, of course, are saying goodbye to you. At the same time, we're welcoming President Wood with the warmest regard for what you did for the university and for maturing it into the fine institution which Dr. Wood is inheriting. It is significant to me that each of these men was a man of his times, a man of his era, who served in the sequence and logic of events to build this institution that we have here now and of which we are so proud. We have had the men of the eras of which I have spoken. We now have the man of the new era, the man who is about to conquer the new frontier. And with that thought in mind, I wish you and Mrs. Wood and the children, and I salute Mrs. Wood, your mother, the utmost success and happiness in the great work which you are undertaking at this time. Thank you very much.
I don't know whether Ralph will remember it or not. He probably will. It certainly doubly impressed my mind. But when we were fighting for the appropriation for the Bunnell building, they called it then the composite building. We had the APW money, matching funds, but we needed the territorial appropriation, and it looked for a time as though we were going to lose it. And it was Ralph's maneuvering behind the scenes and his scheme that he came up with that saved that appropriation, and I think he should receive the credit for it. Before I introduce the mayor, I'm going to introduce the mayor's lady. Dorothy, will you please stand and take a bow? Before I introduce the mayor, I guess you all know that he's a pretty good golfer. I went by there one day and he was in the sand trap. The mosquitoes were biting him and he was having a vicious time. And I heard him turn to the caddy and he say,
This golf, it's a funny game. The caddy looked at him, shook his head, said, "'Tain't meant to be."
May I rebile with you, please? Go on from there.
Thank you, Dr. Patty. Honored guests and friends, welcome to all of you from the city of Fairbanks. We here in Fairbanks are very acutely aware of the benefits we receive from having the university in such a near proximity. We realize how important it is to us to have all of you people out there from the faculty and the other associates of the university to help us in our community affairs. We can call on you for professional advice and to help us to make this a better city and also to participate so actively in the community affairs, which I think all the people from the community have done, from the university have done in the past. We in Fairbanks know that you make us the cultural center of our great state of Alaska and probably of the great Northland. And we know that you are very important as far as the stability of our economy is concerned, and we appreciate having you here. And I know that I can say for the people of Fairbanks that we will do everything in our power, always, Dr. Wood, to try to see that the community and the University of Alaska continue to grow as it should. You know, you can't know, have the privilege of knowing Dr. and Mrs. Patty over the past 7 years as I have had, and look out there at the university and see what has been accomplished in the last 7 years while he was there, know that he is leaving, and begin to wonder, well, now who can we get to replace him? I had the honor the other day of sitting down for a few minutes with Dr. Wood, and just after a very brief exchange of ideas, I decided, certainly, here's a man that can do it. And after listening to him this afternoon, and the tremendous address that he gave, I was positive, and I know that the people of Fairbanks and the people of Alaska should certainly commend the Board of Regents on their excellent choice. I don't envy him his job. There's one thing I'd like to say now, though, and that I do envy you your streets, and I'd like to trade. Alaska is going to grow, it must grow, we all know it will, and Fairbanks is going to grow. And with it, the university will have to grow and it will have to keep ahead. It will always be our first line of progress as far as our entire country and our entire state and city are concerned. And so for tonight, Dr. Wood and Mrs. Wood, I just want to extend to you from the people of Fairbanks a real hearty welcome. And I know that we are with you all the way. And I would rather say just probably a plain old-fashioned Alaskan hello.
Thank you, Mayor Rebar. And before I introduce Dr. Paul Hagelin, I wonder if Mrs. Hagelin would please stand for the introduction. Marge? I think all of us who are friends of Paul's admire his relaxed demeanor. He doesn't get excited easily. And every time I see Paul, I think of a story about a fellow who was driving a dump truck, and he backed up with a load of clay to a fill, and he got a little too far back, and when he dumped the load, the truck, front wheel of the truck came about 5 feet off the ground, the cab was up in the air. And this fellow didn't get excited. He climbed down out of the cab and he was walking around the truck looking it over, and the superintendent ran up all excited. He said, "Now what are you going to do?" And this fellow answered just the same, just as I believe Paul would have answered if he'd have been in a similar predicament. He said, "I believe I'll grease it. I'll never have a better chance."
Dr. Patty, distinguished guests, you know, when Dean Beislein, Earl as I call him, asked me if I would say a few words on behalf of the profession in the manner of welcome to Dr. Wood, he said, "You have 2 minutes." He said, "Of course, the stories you might tell will not count in that time." Now, most of the stories have been told. I'm sure you've all heard them tonight. and I think the accolades have been paid. I had a nice little speech. I don't know what I did with the notes that I had here. I feel a wee bit like the attractive young lady at a dinner. Suffered with hay fever. She always carried an extra handkerchief. Of course, she always kept one in her dinner bag, and the other one she tucked in her bosom. But of course, as hay fever suffers, she required the use of the handkerchief. And she started looking. There wasn't any in the bag. Then she started looking in the bosom for that handkerchief. Unsuccessful, she finally looked up, and all the diners were staring at her. She said, "I can't understand it," she says. "I came in with two. I can't find it." And that's the way my notes are. I'd like to pay tribute to the Regents for their excellent choice. They've climbed a great deal in my estimation. I've had an occasion to observe Dr. Wood. He wasn't looking, I was. He has taken and participated in community activities already. He didn't retire to the ivory tower. That's the mark of a good man. I've known all the presidents of the University of Alaska now. Knew Dr. Bunnell. He didn't like fireplaces in the buildings. Wasted heat. Dr. Moore was an avid aviator. Dr. Patty, an optimist of the highest caliber. Any gold miner has to be an optimist. Furthermore, I saw him sitting in a chair paying $3 for a haircut the other day. Some say that medical science is not an exact science. It should be. We're all created in the image of our makers. But apparently the mirror of life alters it so that we cannot make the subject that we treat an exact one. I think our educational problems may be partly due to the doctors and to science. We decrease the infant mortality terrifically around the world. These children are coming along now. They are creating a problem. However, I'm sure that as the years go on and this university reaches its maturity, and it is young, I watched it grow, I'm sure that it's going places, and particularly under our new supervision, our leading educator. It may become a veritable storehouse of knowledge. However, maybe the word storehouse isn't good. I do recall once upon a time that a very great admirer of Charles Eliot, president of Harvard, said to Dr. Eliot, he said, "Dr. Eliot," he says, "I want to congratulate you on such a fine storehouse of knowledge as you have acquired here at Harvard." He said, "It's very simple." He says, "You know, the freshmen come here with much knowledge, and the seniors leave with so little." Now, Dean Beislein asked me to put in one plug before I came up here. He said, "Our two senators are here. Our congressman is here." And he said, "You know, it'd be nice if we had an atomic reactor on the campus, power and heat." And he said, "Maybe they can pull one out of Washington." I said, I'll put in a plug for that. And as a last reminder, I would say, let's vote for Proposition 4. Again, I want to say, we've got a good president. I think he's going to be tops. I'm sure he's an optimist, too.
Dr. McGee, first I'd like to introduce Mrs. McGee. Will you please stand, Mrs. McGee? Dr. McGee, I'm going to speak on behalf of the Learned Society.
The American Council of Learned Societies has its headquarters office in New York City and United Nations Plaza, right across the plaza from a rather more squabblesome institution, likewise consisting of otherwise unrelated members. On behalf only of the more harmonious of these groups, Dr. Wood, I want to extend greetings and welcome you to the presidency of the University of Alaska. The Council has long been interested in the activities of the university, including such academic affairs as the Carnegie Visiting Professors in the Humanities and such cultural events as the Festival of Arts. The ACLS feels that the future of the liberal arts in Alaska is safe in your hands, and it guarantees that it will continue to encourage and increase the encouragement of the liberal arts under your regime, President Wood.
Our next speaker will be Dr. Collier from Anchorage. Dr. Collier here? Oh, yes, here he is.
Patty, Dr. Wood, Mrs. Wood, and distinguished guests, on behalf of our Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, our Secretary Fleming and his staff, I'd like to welcome you as our new president. The University of Alaska is a university on the move. I'm sure all of us are convinced of that. I can recall when I first came to the university about 6 years ago, and Dr. Patty conducted us and me, along with others, on a tour. I can still see a clothesline full of clothes coming out from the upper story of a wooden barracks, which was then just behind the hall in which we met today. And I can still remember Dr. Patty's unhappiness in seeing these clothes, and I still remember the dispatch with which these clothes disappeared. And now when we look at the university, we see the results of a number of years of hard work and a vision. Dr. Patty once said, every president is known by something. And he says, when I leave, I suppose I'll be known as the builder. I think that's a fitting tribute to you as you leave the presidency. And as Dr. Wood comes, I felt real encouragement today when I saw those flashes of vision and of spirit and of courage in this talk today. And I think that many, many times over the next few years, we shall have occasion to remember the characteristics which were exhibited there today. I couldn't help but say to myself, here's a man that I would follow. And I admonish all of the faculty of the school and the others who are in a position to need to do so to follow this man, because I think he has real courage and vision and ability. Our department, as many of you know, has interests which are certainly of concern to the university. And one in particular, which we have discussed from time to time, that is the research that has to do with health, biological research, some of the physical research fields such as engineering and so forth. And we look forward in the few years to come to a cooperative relationship to continue with the university. Hopefully, our own organization, the Arctic Health Research Center, and the University of Alaska can form a more productive and a closer working relationship as we see research efforts develop at the university.
Thank you, Dr. Tyler. We certainly appreciate the fine cooperation we've always had with your department over the years. I wanted to call on Dr. Troy Payway, who's head of the Geology Department of the University, who's going to speak as representative of the Geological Society of America. Doctor, first of all, may I introduce Mrs. Payway? I've forgotten that some of the speakers.
Thank you, Dr. Patty. It's my pleasure and honor to welcome you, Dr. Wood, on behalf of the scientific research institutions in the U.S. and the world. And indeed, the University of Alaska is known throughout the world, especially for its scientific endeavors, both in the Northern Hemisphere and Southern Hemisphere. Scientists of all disciplines, especially those interested in the polar and subpolar areas, are aware of the great strides that the university has taken in the last few years in scientific research, and we're indeed happy to welcome a leader who is aware and knows of the great potential that the university has as a major contributor to science for Alaska and for the world. Now, Dr. Wood, in the short time you've already been here, you have visited our Arctic Research Laboratory. You had a chance to go out on the ice island out in the Arctic Ocean, and we hope maybe next summer you will visit the geology summer field camp, also visit the biological research going on at Cape Thompson, and we'd like to get you out on a glacier, maybe take you down in a crevasse in a friendly way, of course. But we look forward with confidence that the university will expand its scientific endeavors, and tonight I'd like to say that the private, the state, and the federal research organizations welcome you and Mrs. Wood as the new presidential family at the University of Alaska.
Well, Governor Egan, it's been quite a while getting down to you. I think when he saw that long list, he sort of relaxed. And it's certainly pleasant to have you with us this evening, and we appreciate your coming up